A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, But a very little while, and Lebanon shall be changed into an orchard, and the orchard be regarded as a forest. On that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The lowly will ever find joy in the Lord, and the poor rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the tyrant will be no more, and the arrogant will have gone. All who are alert to do evil will be cut off. Those whose mere word condemns a man, who ensnare his defender at the gate and leave the just man with an empty claim. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of the house of Jacob who redeemed Abraham. Now Jacob shall have nothing to be ashamed of, nor shall his face grow pale. When his children see the work of my hands in his midst, they shall keep my name holy. They shall reverence the Holy One of Jacob and be in awe of the God of Israel. Those who err in spirit shall acquire understanding, and those who find fault shall receive instruction. The Word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. As Jesus moved on from Capernaum, two blind men came after him, crying out, Son of David, have pity on us. When he got to the house, the blind man caught up with him. Jesus said to them, Are you confident I can do this? Yes, Lord, they told him. At that he touched their eyes and said, Because of your faith, it shall be done to you. And they recovered their sight. Then Jesus warned them sternly, See to it that no one knows of this. But they went off and spread word of him throughout the whole area. Isaiah's prophecy, at the first reading, reminds us that Isaiah had a strong preference for the needy. The deaf shall hear, the blind shall see, the lowly will find joy in the Lord, the poor rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Those sentiments of preference for the needy re-echo throughout Isaiah and all the other Old Testament prophets. I once taught a course in preaching the social doctrine of the church in cooperation with a lay professor who had a strong background in social justice. He enjoyed beginning each session by coming in with a stack of computer printout, the old style with the pages attached to one another. He said that he entered into his computer search engine the words, the widow, the orphan, and the alien, to see what would come out. And then he would throw the printout out on the floor, displaying 21 pages of references in the Hebrew scripture to the widow, the orphan, and the poor. It made a pretty convincing proof that God, in his written word, certainly does show a preference for those who are in need. Jesus today also responds to the plight of two needy people, two blind people, showing that he comes to teach, as did the Old Testament prophets, that God has a special love for those who are in need, for the poor. And reams of paper have been written on why God has this preference for the poor, but the reason that makes most sense to me is that those in need are the ones most likely to recognize their need for God. In my own life, just recently, I've been experiencing some aches and pains, and I've certainly found that they increase my awareness of my own neediness and my own neediness for God. St. Ambrose also displayed this same awareness of God's preference for the poor. St. Ambrose, as you may know, was the heir of a very prominent Roman citizen in the 300s. His father was, in fact, imperial prefect over a fourth of the Roman Empire, including what we today call France and Spain. Ambrose himself showed promise of following in his father's footsteps when, as a relatively young man, about the age of 35, he was appointed as consul to the city of Milan because that city was experiencing great turmoil. Turmoil between the Arians and the traditional Christians. The bishop had died, and there was open strife between the two sects as to which, as to where the next bishop would come from. Now, Ambrose had a thorough training in the classics, Greek, Latin, rhetoric, and so he appeared before them to try to maintain the peace. After he had spoken for a while, there came a cry from the crowd, "Ambrose for bishop!" And soon everybody took up the chant, and Ambrose was, by unanimous acclamation, chosen as bishop. He was horrified because he wasn't even baptized, although his family had been Christian. It was the custom of the time for people to put off baptism, lest they sin after baptism. Ambrose tried to run away, but the friend from whom he sought refuge turned him in, and the imperial authorities came and insisted that he, in fact, become bishop. So he was baptized and became a bishop all within about a week. This is the point, that when Ambrose was made bishop, his first action was to surrender all his worldly goods, which were considerable. He considered that as a first step to following Jesus as a leader of Christ's flock, he must imitate Jesus in his acceptance of God's preference for the poor. Now, as a matter of fact, this generous sign created a great popularity among the people for Ambrose, so that he was able to enforce the peace on Milan, and later in his career was even able to stand up to the imperial family on two different occasions because of his popularity with the people. Which isn't to say that we should accept God's preference for the poor, the needy, out of a desire for popularity, but rather we should, as Ambrose did, accept it because it is God's preference. Now, Advent is a time for acknowledging our need for God. We must, through our Advent practice, make ourselves more aware that we need the Savior of the world today as much as the people of Jesus' time did. We don't have to watch the news very long to recognize, in fact, that we have great need of a Savior. It is our firm belief that that Savior has come in the person of Jesus, and that it is our mission to carry his message and his preferences to our world. The readings today teach us that those preferences of Jesus are the same preferences that his Father had. The preference for the poor, the widow, the orphan, the alien. So our own Advent, too, should recognize in some way that God's poor have a great role in our own lives.